What is up? What is going on, everybody? This week, we are changing the name of the show. We are just going to go with Threequel because it sounds cooler, and we'll do it on the other side of the song. Welcome back, everyone, to another new episode of The Threequel. As always, I'm one of your three co-hosts, Ethan Klein. Here with me, Brad Miller.
What's up? And I will say, great job on the cold open. I never know what to expect, and I didn't know quite where you were going, and then I realized it. And yeah, you have a skill when it comes to those opens, my friend.
And Mike Duranik.
I agree. Very skilled with the cold opens. Far better than I would be. And I think dropping the you know, makes perfect sense. Threequel. Will this turn this into a multi-billion dollar
it could. I've already got the papers drawn up.
Yeah, it could.
And our plan to phase Ethan out and take his percentage is on track. And pretty soon the Napster guy is going to be in and taking your place. So.
Wait, actual Sean Parker, or do we get JT?
Well, let's take JT.
I'd rather have JT, yeah.
But, actually, can we keep JT away from my house? I don't want him spending any time with my wife.
Touche.
If you guys replace me with JT, I will accept it. If you guys replace me with Sean Parker, we're going to have some problems.
Okay, fair enough.
No, this week we are doing The Social Network, directed by David Fincher, starring Jesse Eisenberg, Justin Timberlake, Andrew Garfield. A lot of people are in this movie about the invention of Facebook. The Facebook at the time. So before we get too far into it, let me just ask you guys a question. What was your first experience with The Social Network? Did you see it in theaters? Did you catch it on TV? It was a huge hit at the time. Not to give any help to you guys, but I'm sure you remember that this movie blew up when it came out. And it's had a long run on all the streaming services. It's pretty rare that this isn't streaming somewhere. Except in the case, I think this month it was not streaming somewhere, but...
It was. Hulu, I think.
Yeah,
Hulu.
It's usually always on some kind of streaming service because it has had a long run of people really enjoying it. So what was your guys' first experience with The Social Network, and what did you bring into the rewatch for this week's episode?
I think this was a rental for me. I don't remember exactly, but I know I didn't see it in the theater. I came to it a little bit later. Definitely enjoyed it more the first time, and I know we'll get into that here in a little bit.
For me, I saw this in the theater. I was living in downtown Goshen at the time, and so I remember walking with my, and let's see, this came out in 2010, right? Yes. Is that correct?
Yep.
So, remember, you know, walking back to my place, talking about it. It was a movie that I didn't know a whole lot about, but was definitely interested in seeing and enjoyed it in the theater. I've probably watched bits and pieces of it a number of times since then. I saw it in the theater and was excited to rewatch it again with intentionality.
Yeah, this wasn't a theater watch for me. 2010 was definitely not the time where I made a point to try to catch everything in theaters, especially something that was, you know, going to be shooting for Oscars and things like that. I believe this was a Redbox viewing for me, which are still around somehow. Not really quite sure how they're still in business. But watched it, really, really enjoyed it. Remember going into that awards season... Man, I'm setting myself up for failure here. Remember being upset at the time that it lost out to things that it did. But again, we'll save some of that for a little bit because I do want to somehow try to win this game. I do have to face Mike this week. But really enjoyed it at the time. Have seen it a handful of times since then. This is in the Martian territory for me, right? Like, I've enjoyed it. I've seen it probably 5 times. I've been alluding to the Rotten Tomatoes game. Let's just get it out of the way. This week it is myself against Mike. I beat out Brad last week. When we did Gone Baby Gone. So I will go first. Mike will have the opportunity to get back to what I feel is his rightful place as the winner of this game. So this is tough. Like I said, this thing blew up. It's pretty highly reviewed. This is an interesting month. This could be the collective highest scoring month we've had. in a long time. We still have another good film coming up next week. I'm going to go with an 88. Because I know it didn't win Best Picture nominated. I'm going to go with an 88 and let Mike decide where he's going to go past that.
That makes it a lot easier for me. I think that this thing had to have hit in the low 90s. So I'll take the 89 and we'll see where we go. But I think this is right in that 90, 91, 92 range.
The champ is here. The champ is back. Mike knocked off Ethan. The score for Rotten Tomatoes for this is... it's kind of stupid because it ties, I believe, with Good Will Hunting at 96.
I think Good Will Hunting was still higher, wasn't
it? I think it was 98.
I'm pretty sure, because I was wondering where that would land. I think I'm pretty sure Good Will Hunting came in at 96 as well. But anyways, yes, Mike, going with low 90s, does beat out Ethan. And did we confirm, did it tie with Good Will Hunting at 96? Which is catastrophically unfair, should not even be in the same stratosphere.
Well, though, in fairness, Good Will Hunting being at 96 is kind of a travesty, too, because of all of the films that we've watched, that one probably has the best argument to be a 100.
Yes, yeah, for sure. I mean, if someone comes in at 99 with Good Will Hunting, I'm cool with that, but anything less than that is wrong. So, but this should not be a 96. So I'm already answering my question when you ask if they're right, but we can get into that when you officially ask the question.
Well, that is the next question. Is Rotten Tomatoes correct? A 96%. That is quite high praise. So again, like I said, this month we've had, you know, The Martian at 91, Gone Baby Gone 95. Now this above that, I can tell you right off the bat, I don't think this movie is better than Gone Baby Gone. I don't think that this succeeds more than Gone Baby Gone. I would have this closer to where I said. But again, we kind of had this conversation with The Martian and even Gone Baby Gone, right? What is saying that it's wrong? I think it's a good movie. I just don't know if it's necessarily in that upper echelon of, for me, once you cross into 95 and above, you're saying that something is almost untouchable. And I think that, I don't think this movie quite gets there for me, going back on it. I still think what I thought before, that the greatest tragedy of this movie is that Andrew Garfield didn't get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I still hold true to that, that he should have been, but wasn't. So I guess I'll say Rotten Tomatoes is wrong, but not egregiously, just I need to pull it down closer to where I kind of was guessing was the high 80s.
When you just said Andrew Garfield, I didn't even click that that was Andrew Garfield in this film. So.
Doesn't that mean it's just a great performance? Because it's not even Andrew Garfield.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
You said that and I was like, huh. Didn't even register that that was him. So I don't know if that makes it a good performance or not, but... okay, another star in this film that I didn't even realize, and I think Mike was going to answer, and then I'll go for mine.
Well, I think I'm probably higher on this film than Brad is, but I tend to kind of be in agreement with where you're at, Ethan. I think low 90s is where this film probably should be, and it may feel like we're splitting some hairs there when you're talking, well, it's a 96, and why would you feel better about it at a 90 or an 89 or 91? But I do agree with you. It does seem like the films that hit that 95 and above range are unassailably, like, exceptional films. And I think that this film is really, really good. But it doesn't feel, when I watched it the first time and as I rewatched it or as I watched it this time, it didn't feel like it was in that same class. It's fun, but not fun enough to, like, shoot up my rankings just for stupid fun. And it's good, but not good enough to shoot up my rankings for just being an exceptional film. It's very good. I also think the fact that, you know, this has been out 12 years, the way that social media has gone in, you know, and become this overwhelming presence in our lives, it's crazy to me to think that, you know, Facebook kind of launches essentially in 2004. 6 years later, they're making this movie.
Yeah.
And now 12 years later, so this movie's been out, you know, two times longer than the advent of it to this movie. How much of a different feel Facebook has, Zuckerberg has, in the last 12 years versus when this movie was made?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. The first time I watched this, if you tell me this is a 96, I'm probably like, great. I remember loving this film the first time I saw it. Nowhere near loving it this time. I would say if I were ranking it in 2022 on Rotten Tomatoes, it would probably be somewhere between 80 and 85. Good film with good actors, you know, it serves its purpose of the, you know, the creation, the beginning of Facebook there, and I guess I see the merits of a film like this, but it was boring. It wasn't shocking. Watching Jesse Eisenberg be an asshole for two hours was just, it was tiresome. I use the word cringy. It was just, I felt uncomfortable through the whole thing, just kind of sitting there with like this look on my face of like, why did this become the thing that it became if this was the origin story of it? And it was kind of sickening to me. But yeah, watching litigation for 2 hours, I guess I don't know why I thought it was so great the first time. But as far as, you know, a boring premise pulling something off that's a watchable movie, that's why I'm going to give it somewhere in the 80s. It's not awful. And I didn't feel like I wasted my time, but I don't think I'll ever watch it again unless, you know, we do some reunion show with the threequel and it's like, let's throw on an old movie and we land on this one, you know. But yeah, it's okay.
I think what I will say in terms of holding up, if you would have asked me before I watched it again and before we got here, what my favorite line was, just off of memory of the times I've seen it, I probably would have gone with the end, where she says, "You're not an asshole, you just want people to think you are." Because thinking back on it, I'm like, that's such a good line, that's such a good moment. On this rewatch, to Brad's point of watching him be an asshole for 2.5 hours, this, it just kind of dawned on me. The sun rose, I could see the light. I didn't get it. I thought that was a stupid line. I think it's stupid that they put it in the movie. That was the only moment where I was like, this is ridiculous. Yes, he is an asshole. And you should know that because you're his lawyer. Like, you've sat and watched this all take place. Like, yeah, he is kind of a terrible person. Like, did he necessarily steal something and should lose his entire empire? Like, yeah, that's murky, and I really don't care. But he is an asshole. So, like, that was really the only moment where I was like, eh, that lost its luster for me. I went from thinking, like, that is a really, really inspired decision to have the movie end that way, to, yeah, it's a swing and a miss. Really the only spot where I was like, that didn't age well.
So I guess it depends on your definition of asshole. Like, yes, I would agree that he is one, but you can tell that it's almost the way Eisenberg delivers it as Mark Zuckerberg is that he's a reluctant asshole. He is trying to be, but at the same time, you can tell he's conflicted when it comes down to my decisions are hurting people that I care about. He's still going to do it because it's Facebook above everything else. But you can see, you know, and he even alluded to it at one point. He didn't have to be so hard on him. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to do that. I think that he's trying to be somebody that he's really not. And it definitely is an asshole persona. So there is some merit to what she's saying. But if Mark Zuckerberg was anything like Jesse Eisenberg in this film, definite asshole for sure.
I think that the interesting thing about this film and the way they did it, again, I think it's impossible to watch it here in 2022 and decouple it from what we have known of Facebook in the last 12 years, but they do an interesting job of having Eisenberg's character allude to what makes him tick without actually like going back into Zuckerberg's life before the decision to kind of make Facebook, right? So it alludes to what makes him tick, but it doesn't really... most movies, I think, like this, you have the flashback scenes to the childhood, right? You have the teenage years and the teenage angst, and this really kind of comes right up around the time that he meets the Winklevosses, and...
Right.
So it's interesting in that sense to me that it alludes to this kid's... backstory, right? The why he's like that, but it doesn't come right out and tell you that. which is why I think that line, the first time you heard it, might play. But again, it's a bookended film, right? The way that the film opens, and then that ending, is he not, you know, is he an asshole, or is he just playing a really effective one? I suppose only Mark Zuckerberg really truly knows, right?
Yeah, and he almost delivers the character as someone who's some level of sociopathic, where he just doesn't understand, you know, how the norms of society or how to really treat people. Like, even the opening with his girlfriend and some of the things he said, it's like, if you had any sense of societal norms, you wouldn't talk to her this way or bring up the things you're saying, or someone with Asperger's or something. Like, he plays the character as though he has no filter. He's just going to say what comes to his mind. And I think that's the part that bothers me a little bit, because in the stuff I know about Mark Zuckerberg, I don't, obviously he's probably changed since college, but he doesn't come across that way. So I don't know if that was a choice he made, or if that's how Mark Zuckerberg really was. But if Zuckerberg was, then it's like, why do we want this guy to get everything that he got? Because he stepped on a lot of people along the way and treated a lot of people poorly to get to where he's going.
And I do think that's the fundamental question that this movie raises, right? Is this guy just socially awkward for whatever reason, doesn't read people, and that's what it is? Or is he cutthroat and is going to run all over whoever it is, however it is, to find a way to make that work? And, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough about Zuckerberg to, you know, certainly weigh in on this, but I think that that's the question it raises, right? Is he socially awkward and inept and just oblivious to how terribly he's coming off? Or is he, I don't care about anyone or anything except finding a way to take this idea, prove everyone wrong, and then ultimately build an empire?
Well, and then, so with all that, what held up the most for me upon this rewatch was what I knew and have always known and will continue to always know. It is the writing from Aaron Sorkin. I don't think I've ever seen something that he's done that I haven't loved the first time I've seen it. Now, while I may not love this the way that I did the first time I saw it, his writing and his flavor still comes through. And with that, yes, I think Mark Zuckerberg in this movie is an asshole. There's times where it is entertaining to me. I mean, his, when he responds to if he thinks they deserve his attention, the little quip about checking their math, things like that, that is Sorkin through and through, and I love it. And I've always, you know, we've talked about this before, though, right? Like, The West Wing, this, Moneyball, all of those things. Like, watching a scene that you can tell he has perfectly constructed and laid out to be driven by the dialogue, I think is fantastic. We just talked about Michael Fassbender and Steve Jobs last week. I'd love it if we ended up doing that movie someday. I don't remember what must have come out the same year as The Martian. I just don't know. Maybe we just have missed it, or there's been other choices. But that's an hour and a half of just, it's basically a play. And this is just Sorkin doing stuff. A Few Good Men, all the way back there. I love it when Aaron Sorkin gets basically a blank check to do whatever he wants in his style. And it seems like that's what he was given by the studio, and then Fincher did kind of his things with it. We can talk about him too. But that stood up more than anything. This is such a well-written movie, and it won screenplay, which I think very deservedly so for him, because he's got to be my favorite writer working.
So as you were talking there, I was thinking, like, I think the reason this movie rated as high as it did for me now in the 80s, or on our list, is because I want it to be as good as it was the first time. If I had seen this movie for the first time 2 weeks ago, what about it is making us rate it that high? Or, I guess, Mike, you said you probably like it more than me. Like, what about it is, what makes it such a good film? And I'm going to admit, I'm looking at this from a biased standpoint. I can't stand Facebook, and in a lot of ways wish it had never been created. So maybe that's shining through in my dislike of this film. But I mean, in a standalone, if this were just a movie about something that a fictional thing that was created, and there was litigation about it and all of that. Like, and you watch Jesse Eisenberg in this performance, like, what makes it so great? Like, what do you guys point to say it's a solid B plus or A minus, or, you know, wherever it lands for you guys? Because right now, like, just watching it, like I said, very cringy, almost like, why am I watching this gross thing happen right before our eyes and then knowing what it becomes later? Like, what's so entertaining about it? You mentioned Sorkin, but...
It would be the dialogue and Andrew Garfield. That's what would bring me back to rewatch it again.
Yeah, I think Eisenberg's fine in the role. I think he delivers the character that he was supposed to deliver. I think Garfield is the best acted performance in the film. I do think Sorkin's writing is exceptional and shines through. The monologues, the, you know, interactions, they really play well. And Brad, yeah, I actually, it's funny, I would even go a step further and say I kind of hate Facebook. I have been Facebook free for about 14 years now. You know, but I think for me also it is because, you know, as the listeners know, we are split in terms of age. Ethan's the youngest, Brad the oldest. For me, I was in college, not much older than Zuckerberg, right, when Facebook launched. And Indiana University, where I went to school, was one of the first Midwestern schools to get Facebook. And it was a big thing. And I mean, very quickly, it became the thing. Are you on Facebook? And Facebook me. And it was this niche, right? It was this niche for college. And it should have probably just stayed there, because it was like this beautiful, wonderful thing about this fake college world. Because anybody who's gone to college knows, like, it ain't the real world, right? You're a young adult, so you convince yourself it's the real world, but it's not the real world. So it was perfectly fine for a fake online world, for a fake reality of young adulthood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you hit the real world, and then this thing starts spreading like wildfire, and all of a sudden, you know, parents are on it, and aunts and uncles are on it, and this thing that was just an echo chamber of stupid post-adolescence maintained itself as a stupid echo chamber of post-adolescence and spread the globe over. And so, yeah, I think that the world would unquestionably be a better place.
Preach.
Without social media.
Preach.
Facebook just happened, Zuckerberg just happened to build the best product out of everybody. Somebody else would have done this, right? And we would still be there. So for me, what I think I find intriguing about this movie is going back to the roots of this, remembering what it was intended to be. And then the part of this that I did enjoy on this rewatch is now with even, I mean, it's been years since I've watched it, with even more time from when this came out to now, just realizing how much this has, you know, further kind of infiltrated society and social media has. And it's not a good thing. It doesn't make me feel good. But the way that my mind operates, that's kind of the stuff that I like to ponder. And so I saw it through that lens.
Yeah, I think it, because my experience was very... I had MySpace because that was the thing to have. And then Facebook became, well, MySpace is stupid. Switch to this, not this year. Like, the first time I saw this was when I learned that it was originally... only Harvard, only here, only that. Like, I had no idea that was a thing. I only ever knew it as MySpace sucks, now go to this.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. So that was interesting the first time, learning about all of that. But I mean, like, and honestly, like, if not for movie news, because I'm a movie nerd and a junkie and that's the quickest way to get it, I would be scrubbed from social media myself. But I'm addicted and I can admit that, and I need all the quickest movie previews and stuff like that. But I think that what you see throughout the movie, and again, this goes back to the writing, which I'm just going to keep part, and I'll admit to, I'm biased too, I think Aaron Sorkin's a genius and I'm going to wax poetic whenever I can. I think that the relationships that he ends up having with all of these people around him, maybe unintended because we are in a different era now, is a great allegory to how we are with people on social media. Like, his world falls apart because he's so engrossed in this thing that isn't real. He's so focused on building this thing that, like, it's a fake world. It's this mm-hmm. online. But he's so focused in this that he doesn't have an ability to create relationships outside of it. and it ends up ruining his... I mean, how can you say it ruined his life? He's a billionaire. But you can also say it because look at everything that happened around him. And I don't know. I know that there's been a lot that's come out that said that this isn't accurate and this isn't exactly how some of this stuff... Whatever. In the context of this movie, he loses everything because he's so focused on this fake thing. And I think that that's a really good way that they ended up writing and telling this story and getting their point across. And that I appreciate more than anything when we rewatch it.
That's more true, though, when you think about social media in today than it even was then, right? People end up losing their connection with the real world. They end up losing connections with real friends and real family. They end up damaging relationships with real friends and real family all over an entirely fake world that they get bent out of shape because people scrub reality to leave a, like, you know, perfect version of my life that doesn't exist. And yeah, I mean, you know, my wife would critique my social media critique by saying, well, but you're on Twitter. And it's like, yeah, that's the one thing I'm on, and I use it as a news feed. I don't tweet. I don't retweet. I follow sports writers and news writers. And I'm happy to admit, yeah, I could do away with that, but I'm addicted to getting that media right there, and it's the easiest way to get those updates. But it's also different than what you see so much on, like, you know, Facebook or Instagram or all of these things. And I think that that, for me, Brad, is ultimately what makes this movie still engaging, is that it is a snapshot into the beginning of a fairly challenging time for our civilization, I think. And I don't want to, like, hyperbole, like, blow it out of proportion, but with the more studies that we see coming out that show how the increased rates, you know, the more you're on social media, the higher rates of anxiety, higher your rates of depression, higher your rates of risk for suicide, and things of this nature, we know that we are kind of at a fundamental impasse with this. And so I think, historically accurate or not, it certainly tells a perspective based off of that book. But what it does do is give you a snapshot into the dawning of what we're dealing with now.
Focusing in then on, like, what we see on screen, I think, Mike, you said too, you think Andrew Garfield wins the movie based on performance. Do you agree, Brad? Do you have someone else that you think steals this movie? Well, you didn't even know Andrew Garfield was in it, so...
Well, but, I mean, regardless of who the actor was, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the character he played is probably, you know... Yeah, he delivered the best because, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg just got to be a wise ass for 2 hours. Like, it wasn't a huge stretch for him. I mean, he did have a little bit when, you know, he had to deal with the inner workings of that, the girl leaving him and dealing with the pain of that and realizing that Facebook really started as a way for him to cope or mourn this relationship that ended, you know. And that's where I wish... I'm going to stop myself there because we're going to get right back into the same discussion we just had about social media and this film. To answer your question, yes. I mean, honestly, like, Eisenberg has to be up there too, because to be able to take the content of what this movie is and to even make it watchable, regardless if you like it or not, to sit through the whole thing, like, he had to deliver in his role. I think that, you know, JT got to just play a portion of himself.
Yeah, did he act at any point in this movie?
Probably just a lot of, like, I don't think he's as...
I tell you what, Sean Parker has never looked so cool, probably. That,
probably,
right?
Yeah.
Sean Parker, when he saw the casting, had to have been like, all right, yeah. I'm back in
he
the game.
He co-signed it so fast.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's Andrew Garfield and it's Jesse Eisenberg. And I don't think there's anyone else that's even close in reality.
I would agree. Let's keep it rolling then, guys. Favorite line? Or favorite scene. Favorite scene first, then favorite line. I'm getting flustered because I get to actually just look at your guys' beautiful faces when we record this time.
That's what's flustering you?
Yeah.
All over the same shared microphone.
Yeah. Favorite scene, guys. What was your...
Yeah, I really don't know. Like, nothing to me... Like, this movie is just kind of the same thing played over and over. I guess that... You know, I'm going to say I need more time to think about it. I want to see where you guys go with it and see if I agree with you, because I don't really know right now where I would land.
Mine's the tryout scene. when Andrew Garfield walks in, they've got all the guys, they got to do a shot every like 5 minutes or whatever while they're writing code or whatever that was, like, because too, like, and Mike, you just made this point, but I'll happily steal from someone smarter, like, that this was this contained college, all of these people think this is the real world, and Facebook was just something that encapsulated that for them. So like the idea of a job interview being that you're writing code while doing shots and just being shit canned is actually a real way to apply for a job. I remember when I saw this, I was a sophomore in high school. It's like, that is so cool. Like, that's what the real world... No, that's not what the real world... That is college. That's stupidity. But I think the way it's played out is very good. And it's pretty intense. Like, you're waiting to see, like, what are these guys doing? They're writing code? What does this mean? And then it just culminates with, like, check, check, welcome to Facebook. Like, I thought that was a very well-done scene. Kept the energy up. Was very good. I think that's my favorite scene of the movie.
For me, it would be the scene when Andrew Garfield's character comes to the celebration,
yes,
only to find out that he just got screwed out of the company. And it is the interaction between he and Eisenberg and then JT as well there. And I won't say a ton more about it because then my favorite line actually does come from that scene as well. So I'll toss it over to Brad now that you've had a chance to think.
I'm glad that you brought that one up, Mike, because that's where I was going. But for some reason, I was kind of second guessing, saying, is that really that good of a scene or is that just something I'm remembering? But I really do think it was that interaction when he went up there. I think it just really, it took the reality of how disgusting Facebook was becoming and obviously foreshadowing to what it was going to become. And it not only is leading to some of the stuff you alluded to and when you were talking about social media, but like stepping on these people along the way his one friend,
mm-hmm,
he points it out. I was your only friend. I was your friend. Like, and you did this to me. I think that's a really important scene in the film, and I think that's the one that stood out to me as well.
Well, I also think it's the only scene, maybe not the only scene, it's the scene that most stood out to me where Eisenberg plays the character to show some level of self-doubt, mm-hmm, and it's very subtle, and it continues even later after that scene when he pulls out the business cards and is looking at the business cards, but the way that he doesn't want to make eye contact with Garfield's character, and, you know, you've got Sean Parker, right, talking this big game and everything, but Zuckerberg's character is kind of shying from it, and so it's the one scene where you almost see a little humanity in there, where he almost acts like he feels bad about this, but not bad enough to say, yeah, this isn't right, we need to fix this. It's kind of like, well, sorry, man, I don't feel good about it, but you're a casualty of war.
Well, and it's because it comes, like, it's not about the money, right? He's been holding on to a grudge for, I don't know what the entire timeline of the movie is up to that point. 5 years, we'll say. He's been holding under. It's not about the money. It's not about him getting more or being more value. It's all about,
mm-hmm,
this one thing that happened a few years. So you can do your favorite line then if it's from that, because it might be mine too, and then we can just get it out of the way. But mine comes from that whole interaction as well.
Well, it's actually just the interaction between Garfield and JT. And it's when he lunges towards him and Sean Parker like runs away. He's like,
yes,
I like standing next to you, Sean. It makes me look so tough.
Yeah, that's great. Mine is just the last thing he says to Mark. I mean, it's the most famous line, I think. It's one that gets replayed. But just, you know, what you hated the most was that they identified me as the co-founder of Facebook, which I am. And you better lawyer up. I'm not coming for 30%. I'm coming for everything, which he doesn't get. But that just is such a badass, like, I have held back. I've protected you. You were the little nerd that I was nice to and kind to because we were friends, but now you've done it. And just to see him just like unleash, like, I think
that's another great one for sure.
Brad, did you have one? Or do you just hate the movie?
No, I don't hate the movie. I don't think it. I think it's the fact that it tied with Good Will Hunting is just still throwing me off. It does not deserve to be anywhere close to that. So, no, I don't really have a line that I think really stood out.
All right. Well, that will wrap up our conversation of The Social Network then. We've got one more film here in the month of October. It is my pick. I do know that for certain. Didn't know who else picked what, but I knew what mine was. And it is The Prestige. It's a movie we've talked about. It's got to be the movie we've talked about the most that we have not done on the podcast. And it's because of Mike and I. Brad, this is his first experience with it. So we will do that next week as we finish up the month of October. This week was The Social Network. Thank you for joining. Thank you for supporting the show. Other than that, guys, for Mike, for Brad, I'm Ethan. We'll see you next time.